Well, let us begin our services today with prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God, we do desire to raise an Ebenezer to thy praise, for thou hast brought us again to the house of God. Thou hast seen us through another year, and we come to the first Lord's Day of this new year. And we do seek, O Lord, that thou wilt come and be gracious to us. Lord, we thank thee that the future is wisely hid from us, but thou knowest all things. Our times are in thy hands. And Lord, we pray that as we gather around thy word this day, that our living desire may be that of the hymn writer, Jesus, stand among us in thy risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. So, Lord, do bless us together, those, O Lord, that are present in the chapel, those unable to be here but listening online. We pray that each of us, O Lord, may be favoured together. So do hear us then in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do forgive. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Very warm welcome to each to our morning service on this first Lord's Day of the new year, whether here present or listening online. And we do especially welcome to our pulpit Mr. David Cottington, ministering the word once again for us today, and we trust the Lord will be his helper at this morning hour. We open with our first hymn from Hymns for Worship, number 29. Hymns for Worship, hymn number 29. Standing at the portal of the opening year, words of comfort meet us, hushing every fear. Spoken through the silence by our Father's voice, tender, strong and faithful, making us rejoice. Onward then, and fear not, children of the day, for his word shall never, never pass away. Hymn number 29 to the tune Armageddon.
Of the opening year,
Turn with me to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41. Isaiah, chapter 41. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them, and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near, and came. They helped every one his neighbour, and every one said to his brother, Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittar tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see, and know, and consider, and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning, that we may know, and before time, that we may say he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. And I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word and favour us as we further sing his worthy praise.
Just refer to the notices for the coming week, subject to the Lord's will. Mr. Cottington will be preaching for us this evening at our service at 6 o'clock. Our midweek meeting is on Wednesday at 7 o'clock and is a prayer meeting. And next Lord's Day, the service is at the usual times of 11 and 6, the minister being Mr. Paul Toms. And we do acknowledge with thanks the general fund collection taken last week, which totaled £245. And I'll just mention briefly just one or two changes, partly as our brother, our dear sister Harriet has noticed one or two things. But first of all, just on the year's programme for ministry, Wednesday week, Wednesday the 14th, would have been Mr. David Philpott, but he has had a fall and he's cracked his hip. And there won't be an operation, it's got to heal, but he's on crutches. He is improving quite well, but he says he won't be able to, he won't be in a position to preach for us. So we pray for that healing to continue. And but he has been able to fill another vacant day, which was 25th of February, Wednesday the 25th of February, so he is hoping, God willing, to come on that occasion. And then also there was another slight error where I'd missed a midweek between March and April, which is Easter week, and now April the 1st, Wednesday, which is 2 days before the Good Friday, Mr. Mark Seymour has agreed to come. So there's just one or two changes there. And the church meeting has been changed from 28th of May to the 6th of May. So I'll note these on the when I pin it up and be able to amend your little schedule accordingly. We continue now with our second hymn, the remaining hymns from Gadsby's hymn book, and the second hymn, 499, to the tune Swabia, tune Trentum number 73. Great God, before thy throne we joyfully appear in songs to make thy glories known, and thus begin the year, hymn number 499.
Before
Well, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God, the Father of thy dear people, we do bless thee for the throne of grace. We thank thee that we are favoured to come in the name and for the sake of thine own dear Son, the dear Lord Jesus. And Lord, we come seeking mercy for his dear name's sake. We come, O Lord, pleading his precious blood, pleading his precious name, pleading his righteousness. We come, O Lord, desiring that our desire may be that as expressed in the hymn that we have just sung, to let a precious Jesus be our song through all the year. We do pray, O Lord, that we may desire to be helped to be more and more, Lord, resembling thee, and to plead our past follies forgive, our souls divinely cheer, and help us more to thee to live, dear Lord, in this new year. And so we thank thee, O Lord, for every mercy and favour and blessing which thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank thee, O Lord, for all of thy blessings in the past and in the past year. And we seek, O Lord, that we may be favoured to trust thee for all that is to come, thanking thee that the future is wisely hidden from us, but all is known to thee. And so do, Lord, watch over us each, and help us, O Lord, each to commit our way unto the Lord, to trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. We ask, O Lord, that we may be blessed, Lord, as we go forward, and in those things which will come upon us unawares, we pray that we may be enabled, O Lord, to look away from, Lord, from the clouds and from the mountains that may be before us, and Lord, that we may be favoured to look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power. And so do enable us, O Lord, to seek to live close to thee. And oh, we do pray, O Lord, that in living close to thee, that when that time shall come, when we shall be no more upon this earth, when we shall face that last enemy of death, that, Lord, we may be found in Christ, and to be carried safely through the Jordan to see and to be forever with the King. Oh, to see the King in his beauty without a veil between. No more tears, no more sorrows. But, O Lord, we bless thee for that promise to be forever with the Lord. And oh, help us, O Lord, to truly respond, amen, so let it be. And so we come, O Lord, we are poor and needy. We are not the people that we ought to be, but we again plead that it is our desire, the echo of each of our hearts, but Lord, thou knowest that I do love thee, oh, for grace to love thee more. We pray, O Lord, for this house of God, and we thank thee, O Lord, for the voices of the little ones. Truly thou art good, and we ask that thou wilt go before them, O Lord, and help their parents in this difficult and dark and cloudy day. Lord, bless them with wisdom. And Lord, as their children at the moment are very tiny and are held, Lord, and the future, Lord, we trust that they will be spared, and responsibilities and concerns will increase. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt abundantly bless them as, Lord, they seek to bring their children up in the fear of the Lord. We pray, O Lord, for each family that is represented here, and thou knowest all about the wider family circles. We pray for them each, and we ask, O Lord, for those that, Lord, live a lonely pathway, whether that be physically on their own or, Lord, with others that know not thee, that, O Lord, that thou wilt indeed draw very near, and that, Lord, they may prove something of that little that little carol that we sing, and stay by my bedside, be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Oh, stay by my bedside till morning is nigh. So hear us in these things, we pray, O Lord, then, for everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, those in sickness, those in health, those, O Lord, on the mountaintop, those in the valley, and those, O Lord, that are sailing along smoothly and comfortably. O Lord, thou seest each pathway. Thou seest those that have been called by thy grace and those that have been untouched. O Lord, we plead that that time will come when thou wilt favour them with a humble, contrite heart, and bless them and lead them in godly sorrow and repentance to view a precious Jesus, blessed with living faith. O Lord, and so do help us each then to hold on our way. We do pray, O Lord, for those that would be here but are prevented. We think of dear Steve and Phil, Lord, as we lift them to thee. And we pray for others, O Lord, that thou knowest, Lord, the reasons why there are those that are absent, there are those that are away still. We commend them to thee. And Lord, for each one, we ask, O Lord, that thou wilt be merciful and gracious to each. We thank thee for sustaining dear Howard, O Lord, through another year. And we commend him and Jill to thee, and indeed each one of us. We thank thee, O Lord, for Lord, for that measure of health and strength restored to Johnson, O Lord. We pray thy blessing upon him and Faye. And Lord, be with us each, we do humbly pray. We pray for those, O Lord, that are bereaved. There are those here that have attended the funeral in Osset in the past week, and Lord, and there are others that are awaiting to attend the funeral of dear Gwen at Bromley. Lord, we pray for them each, and we ask, O Lord, to remember the bereaved churches and the bereaved families. We pray, O Lord, for thy servants that are sick, and as we have heard of David Philpott, we pray, O Lord, for relief and healing. And Lord, and Stephen Hyde, whom we understand has been in hospital, thank thee that he has been discharged. Pray, O Lord, for healing mercies. And so we seek to commit each other and all whom we know and love into thy kind care and keeping. We ask for mercy on our guilty land and nation. We ask, O Lord, for mercy abroad in the earth. Thou seest that which took place in Venezuela yesterday. Lord, truly we are living in a time of wars and rumours of wars. O Lord, have mercy, we pray. We pray, O Lord, for thy people that are caught up in these things. We pray for our persecuted brethren and sisters. And so, Lord, as we come then to sing thy worthy praise again, we thank thee for these glorious hymns. We pray that thou wilt bless the hymns as we sing them, and then as we come around thy word, O Lord, do open up thy word to our understanding, and may we feed from thy word. And so we ask it all then, seeking that thou wilt make up in giving where we do so fail in asking, and pardon that which we have asked amiss. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt wash us and cleanse us in the precious blood of Jesus, as we ask it all in his dear name and for his sake. Amen.
Continue now with our third hymn, which is number 64. Gadsby's hymn book, number 64. And the tune Vienna 517. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Hymn number 64, tune 517.
Amen.
Seeking the Lord's help for a little while this morning, turn with me to the chapter we read, Isaiah chapter 41, and reading verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41, and reading verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. As we enter a new year, there are perhaps many reasons for us to be fearful of what the future may be. But our text says, fear thou not. And in this chapter that we have read, there is that repeated, fear thou not, on three occasions. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. In the verse 13, fear not, I will help thee. And verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob. Oh, poor and weak and helpless, but fear not, fear thou not. And he says in verse 10 of our text, be not dismayed. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And so these fear nots, they give us reason. We're given reasons why not to fear. These fear nots are wrapped in comfort. He says, I have, I am, I will. In verse 8, he says, but thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. And so I am. In verse 10 of our text, I am thy God. And this I will, I have, I am that I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Well, what's the background to this chapter? It's a very mixed chapter, isn't it? A chapter, I believe, that is misunderstood. And there's great, great comfort in the chapter, but there's also a very solemn background to it all, and some very, very solemn warnings. And as we enter a new year, it is our desire, isn't it, to be fed from the Word of God and to seek that our understanding may be deepened and our walk with God, that it will encourage us to be as Enoch. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Well, the background to this prophecy, isn't it, and to this chapter is of captivity. Isaiah is prophesying the captivity of his people. And Babylon is very, very, very strong. And the Jews, at the people of God, they are so very weak, so very, very feeble. You know, friends, you don't need me to tell you that today we're living in desperately, desperately solemn days. Solemn days, yes, nationally, internationally, but in the church, we're living in desperately, desperately solemn days. The people of God, we're being more and more marginalised. We're treated increasingly with disdain, with contempt. The climate of our society is such that the people of God, or those that profess to be the people of God, are easily drawn away. That they're filled with doubts. There is not the root of the matter in them. I was up on the computer last night, came this on Facebook, I think it was. Somebody had put it on Facebook, a quote by George Whitfield from Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And this is, quotes George Whitfield. "There are many who go on in a round of religious duties who think they will go to heaven when they die. But if you examine them, though they have a Christ in their heads, they have no Christ in their hearts." Christ in the head. Religion spouts from the mouth, from the tongue. But nothing devoid of Christ in their hearts. What a solemn thing. We have came about several years ago, known as New Covenant Theology. And they profess, oh, we don't just have the Sabbath day as a Sabbath. Every day is a Sabbath. And I well remember my dear wife saying, yes, and soon no day is a Sabbath. And that's solemnly, solemnly true. It's that falling away. There's that falling away. And you see, dear friends, we have in this chapter those that they were encouraged as the Lord, as there was this declaration as the chapter opens. "Keep silence. Keep silence before me, O islands." It's like in the court of law, the clerk of the court says, "Pray, keep silence, keep silence." This is something urgent. This is something urgent. And the response, as that there is this declaration. There is this declaration of what the Lord has done, of what he will do. And it's met with disdain. It's met with disdain by those that seek other gods. We have in the sixth verse, "They helped everyone his neighbour, and everyone said to his brother, "Be of good courage." So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, "It is ready for the soldering," and he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. The carpenter encouraged. Why did he encourage? God had summoned the whole earth. There was this, keep silence. Let the gods of the nations, he says in our chapter, let the people renew their strength, let them come near, let them speak, let us come near together to judgments. Come near. And he speaks of the prophecy of Cyrus. And as he goes forward in the prophecy of Christ. And friends, and those, that is either a savour of life unto life or of death unto death. And how solemn it is that we read of these that are encouraging one another. It's a savour, that warning, be silent, is a savour of death unto death. As they encourage one another in ensuring that their gods are firm and sure. As they rely upon their gods and not the living God. So the carpenter in verse 7 encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, "It is ready for the soldering." And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. These false gods, these were false gods. But friends, what of you and I? Is yours and my hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Oh, these are steeped in sin. We have in the midst of this, that these fear nots wrapped in comfort, those who will not have this man to reign over them, steeped in sin. They have their false gods. And as the chapter goes on, the prophet Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lord says to them, Now, you have heard all what I have done. You have heard all what I am going to do for my people. I have predicted the future. Now, he says in verse 21, Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Bring forth your strong reasons. Let them bring them forth. Come on, show us. Show us what will happen. You're relying so much on this. You've encouraged one another to make sure and fast your gods. You're encouraging each other. You know, it's said, isn't it, that the devil, the enemy, that his people, there are no divisions, no sects with them. They encourage each other in being against the Lord and in making their own way. Solemn, isn't it, that amongst the people of God there are such divisions. And so he says, well, show us. as you've seen to it that having heard the warning that you've made doubly sure of your gods, that they're firm, that you've fastened them with the nails as well as soldering, that they should not be moved. Oh, bring forth your strong reasons. Show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Oh, and the Lord, He does. And the Lord, He challenges those that are His, that wander away. If they're His, He'll speak to them, He'll convict them again, He'll convince them, and He'll bring them back. But solemn, dear friends, to be left in such a profession, in such a deceit, a profession. He says, behold, ye are of nothing. He's spoken of the past, of those that were as nothing to His people. And He says, and you, the enemies of the cross of Christ, you who have, as George Whitfield says, that you have Christ in your head, but you have no Christ in your heart. Now you might say, but we don't, I don't make false gods. Ah, but dear friends, it's what gods we have, isn't it? Those little gods that we have in our lives that take up so much of our time that there's scarcely, if anything, left for the true and living God. And so in verse 24, he says, behold, ye are of nothing. Ye are of nothing, and your works of naught, an abomination is he that chooseth you. Well, what a solemn verdict, isn't it? What a solemn judgment to be found in such a place, that in the eyes of a living God, ye are as nothing. Ye are nothing. Oh, a disgrace to the cause of God. A disgrace. A weight, a heavy weight upon the dear people of God. But in effect, you are nothing. You are nothing. Oh, and so when men fight God, they get united. And so, dear friends, these things, as we consider them, as we come into a new year, oh, there is that, isn't there, of New Year's resolutions, false resolutions and things. But oh, that our resolve might be, under the help of God, to be amongst those, as we sung in our second hymn, to be, help us more to Thee to live, dear Lord, in this new year. And so the enemies of God, the enemies of God, they helped one another. They helped one another. But oh, dear friends, as you and I are the people of God, and we have many distractions, and it surely it comes to us as well, that first commandment in Exodus chapter 20, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Well, and so in our chapter, the first seven verses, they consist of God's call, of his ringing call, of his ringing call to prepare for his destructive wrath. But friends, as we've said, that there are those fear nots for his people. There are those fear nots wrapped in this comfort, unspeakable, indescribable comfort for the people of God. His wrath would be averted. His wrath would not come upon his people. Hence these blessed fear nots. Oh, as dear Paul, as he opens up his letter to the Ephesians, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. Why? This is why there is fear not. Chosen. I have chosen thee. I have elected thee. Thou art predestinated, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Oh, the glorious fact of election, that he has chosen his dear people, and his dear people in return choose him. But oh, we merited nothing but the wrath of which we read in this chapter 41. But if we're amongst his chosen, if we are elect, his wrath is diverted. Oh, the time. When was this? Why, it was before the foundation of the world. In verse 4. What love! Whilst we were yet without strength, Christ died for us, according as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. And on what basis? Well, it's his good pleasure, isn't it? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, he is the instrument to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Poor worm Jacob, helpless, weak, wretched, undone, sinful, and yet chosen to the praise and the glory of his grace. And it is, friends, it is, isn't it? It's all of his grace. Oh, the doctrine of election should fill us with humility and gratitude. And so he says in our chapter Isaiah 41 and verse 9, "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away." But friends, we have to live to prove, don't we, that in the world ye shall have tribulation. But he's not left there, is it? "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I am with you. I am with thee." Oh, dear Joseph. Dear Joseph, why, what a trial that the dear man had to go through. But it was all in the purposes of God, wasn't it? As he was oftentimes left alone. But what was he favoured to say to his brethren? "As for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Oh, I am thy God. All these things are working together for good. That which you may be brought into this year, things not once looked for. But all to seek that the hand of God, and to be favoured, to look away from the mountains of difficulty. To be favoured to look to Jesus. Oh, his people, they're in captivity. They're in Babylonian captivity. Why? Because of their sin. Because of their sin. "But I am with thee. I am that I am." Oh, he hadn't cast them off, had he? They were still his people. And he was still their God. "I am that I am." Oh, as dear Hezekiah, wasn't it? But, oh, the going had got so tough, hadn't it? He said, "Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me." And what we let read two or three verses on, "Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And so, dear friends, to be favoured as that glorious chapter in Romans. In Romans chapter 8 ends with, to be amongst those, no merit of our own, all of his grace, deserving nothing, but to be left to our false gods, to our false hopes, to our sandy foundation, but to be conquerors through him that loved us, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and the last three verses, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so he says, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's been said that this chapter, Isaiah chapter 41, is the great I will chapter of the whole Bible. I will. Certainty for his dear people. He says it with all the authority of a holy, holy, omnipotent God. He knows the end from the beginning. Every obstacle that you and I are going to have passed through, as he's redeemed that situation of us going down to the pit of hell, that he's provided a redeemer. But we've now got to walk it out, and the way is mapped out with precious blood. Oh, but every obstacle, every difficulty, every disappointment, every slip we make, every fall that we make, our weaknesses, and yet he says, I will. I will. I am the God of Abraham. And as we think of dear Abraham, and we think of the Lord accounted it to him for righteousness, and how he was brought to that place where of the trial of faith. And we see, don't we, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. But as he brings the knife down, so there is that the angel of the Lord calls out unto him from heaven in chapter 22 of Genesis and verse 11, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Perfection of the ram, pointing to precious Jesus. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Friends, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, yet I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, blessed be God that his anger has been appeased. As in John's first epistle, chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Oh, this glorious doctrine of election, the wonders of grace, for where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I believe I haven't got completely right, as chapter 5 in Romans speaks of it, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the people, all in captivity, for those long, long years, 70 years, before there's the beginning of any release. But as they're released, all the difficulties that there are in the way, as you and I may be favoured in this year to come with some blessings, with some favours, But we have to prove, don't we, unless he takes us home. And oh, it may well be that this is the last of our first Sunday of another year that one or more of us may ever see on this earth. But what we do know is, don't we, that the pathway, we're in enemy land. We're in enemy land. There are many around us where Christ is on their lips but not in their hearts. Quite apart from the authorities and those that would take away our religious liberties and bring about these desperately, desperately abominable laws upon our statute book. And where are we in that, dear friends? But oh, it is as these Jews were. They've been in captivity all that time. Oh, has it now all ended? Are all their sorrows gone? Have they, as the little nursery books used to say, and they lived happily ever after? Well, in Christ, yes, there is that happiness, but there's the storms in the way. There are those difficulties. Oh, they had that long, dangerous journey, didn't they? All the way from Babylon to Jerusalem. And when they got there, oh, the work that had to be done as they rebuilt the temple, the walls, the cities, their homes. It was hard work, and the minor prophets, they speak very, very much of it. And that's a mirror, dear friends, of what you and I, the people of God, pass through. As we travel on through this waste, howling wilderness. But he says, but I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee. I will help thee. And oh, dear friends, as we bring our thoughts to a close on this this morning, and may the dear Lord help us to try and gather up some of the threads this evening. But there is, oh, it's his glorious hope, isn't it? For those of his dear people. Oh, I would not, as Paul writes in his first letter to the church at Thessalonica, and chapter 4, and verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, oh, we're not relying upon our false gods. We're not relying upon a head knowledge. Christ is in our heart. A precious Jesus. He's our bread, the bread of life. His word. In the beginning was the word. This speaks to us as we go through this waste, howling wilderness. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, these blessed fear not, wrapped in such comfort. Amen.
Closing hymn this morning, 622. Hymn 622 to the tune Abens 275. Poor fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever be thy aid, and put the hosts of hell to flight. Hymn 622, tune 275.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all. Amen.